This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Are we back?
Hey, are we back?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
I think we're back.
Technical difficulties. Please stand by a moment here at our Odyssey Studios, but apparently... hopefully we're back on the air. Tap, tap, tap. Hello, is this thing on?
Showing my awards on
Welcome
the stream,
back.
Like Emmanuel Classe last night.
So, yeah, whatever happened, somehow we played a Boomer and Valenti open for the 7 o'clock hour, which was apparently some sort of booby trap that caused the entire station to go off the air.
Yeah, Frank said... He said, you guys are changing your format to Christian Dodger talk. Yeah, it's a format flip, and we are going to Christian Dodger talk.
Well, he actually discussed the entire Dodger game already. You missed it the last couple of minutes.
They can hear us. These are not hot mics, guys. We're broadcasting. So
yeah, we are actually, this is just bad radio. That's not hot mics. This is actually on the air bad radio. So anyway, we are back. Unfortunately... The Dodgers have combined what has been really, really good pitching now with Mookie Betts is hot and Shohei Ohtani is hot. And unless something changes, Woods, in the next couple of days, they are well on their way toward winning that full season World Series that has eluded them since 1988.
Yeah, I mean, unless they get norovirus or something, I mean, it looks really good. They look really, really good. Again, hence why normal, rational people pick them to be the favorites to win the World Series because they are deep, they are talented, they are wealthy, all of the above. And I do understand losing a pitcher here or there down the road, and that sets you back. But you also still have really good players that you acquired to help you win a World Series.
Yeah, they're putting it all together at the right time here. Yeah, they've gotten enough starting pitching to go with an absolute devastating bullpen, and now a lineup that is both deep, hot, and patient.
Yeah.
And we saw the patience on display yesterday. The Mets simply could not throw enough strikes to get the Dodgers out. They were consistently on the bases. Max Muncy, set a new record with 12 straight times
12?
Reaching base.
He just turned into Ted Williams.
Eight or nine
something.
Of those were walks. He just, he's not swinging out of the zone, as are several other players. They all seem to be
locked in
right now.
And they have outscored the Mets 30-9. That is a plus 21 run differential, which I know is your favorite stat. They are walking 8-9 times a game, and you kind of feel that there's no way you're able to win a game like that, Benny, if you're not playing absolutely elite defense, which the Mets are not. If you're not taking advantage of pitches down the middle, which they were not yesterday. It's not like, again, they had chances the last two nights, could not do one thing with it. Nothing. And you're talking about a lineup with, hey, listen, remember everyone ripped on the Padres for losing to a Dodgers team with Freddie Freeman out of the lineup? What did they throw up that night? Eight? And look at them last night. No Freddie Freeman in the lineup? No problem. No problem. Tommy Edman was a massive pickup for them at the deadline. He's hitting in the four hole last night.
They're scoring 8-10 most games. They're giving up 0-2 most games.
That's a really good recipe.
A really hard combination to beat. The Mets had the one game where they got off to a good start. And again, that's their only hope because you can't play from behind against that team the bullpen arms they can bring in. There are very few pathways right now to beating the Dodgers. The only thing that I can think of is if they wrap up the series tonight in Game 5 and the Guardians and Yankees, play a hard-fought series, the Dodgers will have to sit around a week until the start of the World Series next Friday. And, You know, anything can happen when you don't play for a week. That's why they always complain about the bye between the wild card series and the division series. Well, that's a week-long bye as well. Not even quite a week. So this would be a long stretch. You probably want to keep playing when you're as hot as the Dodgers are. But when those are the straws you are grasping for, like, well, maybe time off is what's going to really derail their train. It's a freight train, and it's out of control right now. And they're doing it without Glass now. They're doing it without Gonsolin and May, all the pitchers that they could have. And, you know, they're probably going to have Ohtani in their starting rotation next year. So
I think the only bright spot about Ohtani in the rotation next year is that he's not going to hit 59 home runs.
I guess.
You know, that's like the only bright spot you can look at. And you know, you never know. Things change year to year. I did not think, after watching all the Dodgers teams the last decade or so, I really didn't think this was the most complete team. But you look at how they started playing and when they decided to start playing this way, Padres being a nice little springboard for them, you know, and you look at that and go, yeah, these are way better than the Justin Turner, Clayton Kershaw teams. Way better. I mean, they're playing the best baseball that they could possibly play right now, and they're getting contributions from mostly everybody in their lineup. I mean, Will Smith has still had like two hits, but it doesn't really matter. When Tommy Edman's getting knocks and Kike Hernandez is hitting big home runs and, you know, Mookie Betts is going 4 for 5 and Ohtani is he scored 4 runs last night. Like, that's the beauty of having three MVPs at the top.
They were beatable when, for mostly containing Shohei, Mookie was ice cold and the starting pitching was a big question mark.
Yeah.
None of those things are true anymore. It makes the Dodgers virtually unbeatable at this point.
And as much as it pains me to do it, I have to credit Dave Roberts with managing this team very well. Very, very well. I mean, it's been the best version of Dave I've seen ever. And pushing all the right buttons. And again, pushing the buttons and your guys coming in and executing is just paramount. So they look like a juggernaut right now, man. They really do.
Yeah, we may not.
It'd be tough to see anybody else winning the World
Series. We may not like the buttons he has pushed,
but they're the right ones.
They've worked for his team. And to do it, without Freddie Freeman, who sat yesterday. I mean, Tommy Edman drove in 3. Yamamoto has clicked in terms of his last couple of starts, the one against the Padres, the one yesterday. Not perfect, but more than they needed, essentially. And the Mets had a couple of chances. You know, they had the Mark Vientos home run. They loaded the bases again, still came up with no runs, and that was, I think, pretty much it for the Mets, probably in the series.
Yeah.
They had their chances. It didn't work out.
They are absolutely
toast. So game 5 is today. That's the early game, 2:08. Jack Flaherty is going to go against David Peterson, who's kind of been a 2-3 inning guy for them in out of the bullpen, but they're going to go with the best that they've got. And that's the best that they've got right now for this game. And then the Yankees game 4 against the Guardians is 5:08 on TBS. And it's going to be Luis Gil against Gavin Williams, a true like number 4 starters matchup in game 4. Neither of those guys have started, you know, basically since, you know, the middle of September, I think. So it's kind of a, what are you going to get? Gavin Williams has not been good, especially at home this year. So the Guardians are really rolling the dice in this game. But if they do win, they can tie the series, and then it's anyone's ball game. Heel is a big question mark, I think, he was good early in the year, but kind of, I think, dropped off on the second half of the season. So this is a bit of a mystery game for the Yankees and the Guardians. All right, we'll take a timeout. We can play Take on Woods a little bit later. I'm not sure what our technical status is. Paulie's been working feverishly with engineers.
1 minute, we should be good.
I haven't even called for contestants yet. So why don't we, 1 minute, like before we can go to break, or 1 minute before we can do anything at all?
Like 1 minute before we go to break.
All right, we can talk for a minute. Woods, we'll have Don't Do This is coming up next, including a story about a cocaine ring and a former Olympic athlete.
Yeah, you've piqued my interest.
I thought I might.
Got a former NFL quarterback arrested for DUI and possession of a weapon. Drunk driving with a weapon in your car is not going to be a good look.
And we will get into the Padres' strengths heading into 2025, and that'll be the bullpen that they have coming back. And it's not just the names that you kind of know, but there's some depth. There's some names that are coming up that seem like they could be good arms. So some we got a little bit of a preview of this season. Others we haven't even seen on the big league level, but it is definitely an area where the Padres can can deal from a point of strength this offseason. I don't know if you are willing to trade any of it, but I imagine there will be other teams that are going like, look at all those arms. We could use a Steven Kolek or someone to help our bullpen that is kind of thin.
I don't know how many GMs around the league are saying we could use a Steven Kolek right now, but you never know.
You never know.
AJ's moved worse pieces than Steven Kolek.
I would say so. So we will talk about all of that coming up. First, we'll come back and get into Don't Do This, and we'll figure out a new spot for Take on Woods a little bit later. Are you ready, Paul?
Was that an Adam? That he?
Oh, yeah.
No. All right. We will.
We should go ahead.
Well, we can roast him and Don't Do This. How about when we come back?
Should we roast him for the big roast that we've been sitting on?
Yeah.
I think that might be warranted now.
Yeah. Paulie was a little mad that we didn't do it already, but you're not going to want to miss this.
I wasn't mad. I was surprised.
You're not going to miss. You don't want to miss this.
He's in our chat.
So. Adam, you...
Should I ban him from the chat?
Adam, you wanted
it. Put him in timeout?
You wanted it.
Now you're giving it.
It's coming.
And after traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, trying to get things back to normal here.
I think we're back.
A little bit of Don't Do This after our technical difficulties. Thank you, everybody, for bearing with us.
They didn't bear with us. They were screaming at us.
That's true. That's your point.
Are you kidding? There was no bearing with us. But it's good. It's good that when you go off the air, people get mad at you, and they want you back. So.
Yeah, that's true. The worst thing when you go off the air is
no one says anything.
What? I didn't know you went off the air.
I don't listen. I have no idea. Nobody knew. If a tree falls in the forest, nobody hears it. This could be potentially the most insane Don't Do This segment of all time, based on the final story.
It's what's better than the Hall of Fame? It's the GOAT.
The commissioner?
It's the number one.
This is it.
Don't Do
This.
We
have found it. The number one.
In 6 years of Don't Do This.
Then it's in-house. But I'll get us started. I woke up this morning to a really disturbing mugshot of Smokin' Jay Cutler. You guys remember Smokin' Jay Cutler?
Absolutely.
Jay Cutler, quarterback of the Bears. Just never seen really, I don't think I've ever seen a more disinterested athlete. Good arm, won some games. But he just, every time they would pan to him, he'd be like, it looked like he could not care less. Not a big eyewash guy, apparently, Jay Cutler. Somebody made a website years ago they called it Smokin' Jay Cutler. So they'd find all those pictures of him. They'd just put lit cigarettes in his mouth. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my whole life. I loved it. I went to it every day.
I remember the picture his then wife posted of his bare butt on the balcony.
Yes.
That went viral.
Well, he was arrested last night for DUI and gun possession in Tennessee. He was driving intoxicated in Franklin. He is also accused of failure to exercise due care and violation of implied consent law. So he was released from the Williamson County Jail. He posted a $5,000 bond and is now in some trouble. It just, listen, don't drive. If you drink, don't drive.
And then don't have a gun with you at the same
time.
Even in Tennessee, apparently. They have standards, I guess.
Yes.
That's nothing compared to this. Don't do this. Involving a former professional and Olympic snowboarder from Canada. His name is Ryan Wedding. And apparently after he finished his snowboarding career, he got into a different kind of snow. Woods. He got into a cocaine ring.
My name?
Because I'm talking to you.
Okay.
I'm just talking to you. His name is Ryan Wedding. And he is accused and on the run right now. He is wanted for running a massive and violent drug trafficking operation, routinely shipping hundreds of kilos of cocaine and ordering people to be killed in the process. He is like,
my God.
He is like a true drug lord.
And
the picture of him from his snowboarding days, he couldn't look like more like the normal. Well, he's all Canadian, but
all
just
all Canadian.
Normal,
did they say
just
that
like
in Canada.
Canadian. All Canadian. He's just
Canadian,
an all Canadian guy. Looks like a normal Canadian guy. Now his mugshot that the FBI released. He looks a little more haggard. Maybe that happens when you've been. running a drug ring for several years?
I would say that moving 60 tons of cocaine per year will do that to you.
So according to the reports from the FBI, to see their operation through, wow. Wedding and an associate allegedly ordered violent crimes, including two murders of family members in Ontario, Canada, in retaliation for an intercepted drug shipment that was passing through here in Southern California, and allegedly ordered another murder over a drug debt. Yeah, it's cocaine that's coming out from Colombia through Mexico to stash houses in Los Angeles and then to couriers that bring it to Canada via semi-trucks. And he's running this whole thing. Officials have seized more than one ton of cocaine, $255,000 in currency, $3.2 million in crypto, firearms, ammunition. He's been charged with 8 felonies, 2 counts of conspiracy to distribute controlled substances, 1 count of conspiracy to export cocaine, 1 count of leading a continuing criminal enterprise, 3 counts of murder and drug crime, and 1 count of attempted murder in connection with a drug crime. But he is wanted. They don't know where he is, or they have not found him. So they have the manhunt is underway for Ryan Wedding, former Olympic snowboarder. Not like a gold medalist. He finished like 25th in the Olympics. It's just what makes it a sports story. But he's considered a fugitive. He was living in Mexico. Probably still there at some point. We will see what happens with him.
SD Jelly said, Canadian drug lord, the most polite drug ring in the world.
Oh, doesn't sound that he's sorry. That polite.
No, it doesn't, actually. Yeah, Canadian Heisenberg. All right, guys, this one's a banger here. So let me just look at you a little backstory here. When you have when we get to the playoffs, everything is wheels off. I mean, plates start spinning. Sales is like, can you guys be here at this time? We have to be. Can you guys show up on Saturday and do a broadcast? Can you go to Aylesmith? Yeah.
If the Padres win, we're doing this.
Yeah.
If they lose, that means the game 4 is tomorrow. Like,
right.
We're doing this.
So it's just, it's really like drinking from a fire hose. It really is. And it gets a little insane. Now, Paulie is the, what do you call yourself?
Imaging director.
So Paulie has to get all the...
Everyone calls him that.
I just forgot the title.
Call himself that.
I know, I forgot the title.
Yeah, I don't walk around, hey.
Hey, I'm the imaging director. Nice to meet you. Paulie has the unfortunate job of making promos for every single thing that could potentially happen. Win, lose, whatever. So he was asked by Adam last week when the Padres had a 2-1 lead.
Congratulations to the World Series champion Chicago White Sox. We knew you were going to do it all along. You have to be ready for everything.
White
Sox.
They were out.
Just checking.
Right. But so, you know, you do have to do the promo for win or lose and all of that. So Paulie had to make them all, which I know you don't like doing anyway. It feels like...
The curveball was that I was going out of town.
Yeah,
I left after Thursday morning after the show. I went out to Palm Springs for the weekend. And so we knew Wednesday night there would be a game 5.
Correct.
With the loss. But prior to that game 4 loss on Wednesday night, I spent all of Wednesday making a bunch of potential promos.
Correct.
Game 5, Friday night, 97.3 The Fan. Or the Padres have moved on if they would have won game 4.
If they had won. Now.
And I sent them all to Adam.
So that's your job. You did your job. You sent them away to Adam. Adam's job.
So no matter what happens, I'm out of town.
I'm leaving.
You've got them. Upload appropriately.
Upload as you need. And a few people picked up on this. They were listening to the Gwen and Chris program, and I believe it aired right after the interview with Skipper Mike Shildt. If you were listening to the station, you heard...
What's up, my dudes? How you doing?
Or good, buddy. How are you? Missed you.
So this was like last Thursday.
Last Thursday. Paulie was in Palm Springs. I was at home.
I
relaxing.
Just got in my hotel.
I was.
And my phone absolutely blew up.
I was at home relaxing, and people started texting me. Because this aired on our radio station.
The Padres have slayed the dragon again. After knocking out the Dodgers, the Padres are moving on to the NLCS. Catch Game 1 of the NLCS this Sunday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Okay, so we all, you know.
Thursday.
We had not played yet.
Game 5 had not played.
Game 5 was on Friday. So I got a call, and then another text, and another call, and I said, you guys know I'm in therapy. I'm working hard on controlling my emotions. Regulating is what I call it. I'm just trying to regulate. So I waited a couple hours. And I went to dinner with my wife, and I called Adam. He answered the phone like this. Ring, ring. He goes, hello. I said, how's it going? He said, are you calling to roast me? I said, mm-hmm. What?
Actually, yes.
What happened? He goes, I loaded the wrong one. And I go, I know. I heard. Everybody heard. And he said, now, you remember, if you will. So I knew this on Thursday. I knew this on Thursday. Last Friday's show, a week ago today, was me, Ben, and Adam, who was filling in for you, Paulie. And Adam walked in the morning, and he goes, so are you going to roast me? And I said, no, I'm not saying a word. I'm not mentioning that.
I said, you already tempted fate by letting it play. Yeah. We're not going to play it again and again and continue to tempt fate. I mean, maybe it's too late.
Correct.
Maybe the damage has already been done, but we're not going to call attention to it.
And so I said, no, dude. He goes, I'm really surprised you're not going to roast me. I go, well, no. I said, if we win tonight, yeah, I'll roast you tomorrow at our live broadcast from, where were we going to be? Ailsmith again?
Yes.
Or no, we were going to be here.
Oh, that's right. We were just
coming
in
to do a two-hour show. So I said, I'm not doing that. And he said, okay, maybe the right idea. So he thought he was off the hook until he did that this morning. So, yeah, I mean, if you're looking for blame to go around, I think that some of it goes to Adam. Play it again, Paul. I'd like to hear it one more time. Yeah, let's hear it one more time.
The Padres have slayed the Dragon again. After knocking out the Dodgers, the Padres are moving on to the NLCS.
Yep.
Catch Game 1 of the NLCS this Sunday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's a really fun way to start your vacation.
When I called Paulie, he answered the phone.
I'm telling you, like, the handle on my luggage was still up. We had just gotten to our room.
So Paulie's instant reaction was, oh, no, I screwed up. And I go,
my heart fell out of my butt. I thought I uploaded to cart A, but I told Adam it was cart B, and he just did what I told him. And I'm like, oh, my God. I cursed the team. There's no way they win tomorrow. And then you talked to Adam, and I go, was it 100% his fault? Said, for
yeah,
sure?
It was 100%.
Yeah, it was.
Megan asked him in the chat, your wife Megan said, do you do this on purpose so they'll talk about you? I think it's a fair question. But holy cow. So that was fun. My son last night walked in, and he goes, Dad? I said, yeah. And he said, just like this quote, he goes, I really liked your radio show today. I go, oh, you did? I go, what did you like? And he goes, I like when you guys mocked Adam. And I said,
mocked.
Oh, okay,
he used the word mocked.
I like when you mocked Adam.
Sick.
I go, you like that? He goes, oh, yeah. I go, when we were playing blackjack, like, hit me, double down. He said it was the funniest thing he's ever heard. So he really enjoyed the Adam content. But
so there is an argument to be made that Mike Schilt, the offense, Dylan Cease, all now absolved of what happened.
Yeah, there's an argument
in the last two games of the series.
If you believe in, stuff like that,
that Adam Klug is solely to blame.
Yeah. Thank you
for what happened.
You're off the hook, dude.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you're off the hook.
It's also a good point that was made in our chat. You can't slay a dragon twice.
Correct. Right.
Once a dragon has been
slain.
You can't do it again.
Slayed the dragon.
It's a different dragon. I don't know.
You like overkill out there? You're with the right team.
Cut his head off, sewed it back on, cut it off a second time.
There was a
97.3 the machine.
There was a very smarmy
the double
again.
The double kill.
The Padres have slayed the dragon again.
Again. If I kill someone, I can't kill them
after
over.
Knocking out the
Carlos, do you guys like necrophilia out there?
Yeah.
You killed that guy. No, I double killed him. I killed him, and then I killed him again.
Brought out the paddles, revived him, killed him again.
The Padres murdered the Dodgers again.
Yeah, let's bang the Slay the Dragon bit forever.
That was theater. It's over.
Since they murdered us and are on their way to a World Series championship. Thank you to one man and one man only, the great.
Is it extra sweet because this is against the Dodgers?
That's him. That's our guy. He said he's about to go walk into traffic and start drinking.
We were so careful. No raps.
Well, there was one, but we didn't bring any attention to it.
Yes, we tried to ignore everything. We did our best, people.
This has been the worst 35 minutes of radio.
It's been great radio.
My radio career.
It's been really good radio. Don't forget, we got pulled off the air live one time, so it doesn't compare to that, but that was something.
All right, we will come back, maybe talk about something more positive. The Padres bullpen going into 2025.
All right, fine. That's fine.
We'll take a look at the names that should have the Padres set up pretty well in late innings. I know bullpens can be a little bit up and down, but they've got some good players coming back. We'll take an off-season look at what's coming up in 2025 in the pen when we come back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. One thing this postseason has made clear, and it was already true before this postseason, but there's nothing like a lockdown bullpen when it comes to October baseball. And it doesn't matter how good it was during the season. You need a really good pen to succeed in October. I mean, name the team that won a World Series even though their bullpen was really shaky all the way through the playoffs. It just doesn't happen.
Well, you'll find sometimes the regular season bullpen is not great, and then they get to October.
True.
And they're deployed perfectly, and they find the next level, the next gear, whatever it may be. The Rangers obviously are a really good example of that. And they kind of looked around and they said, all right, let's make Leclerc, you know, the guy. And he came in and was outstanding. And they used David Robertson well, and a bunch of guys that they had kind of found cast-offs, if you will, and ended up winning it all.
The Guardians have one of the best pens, if not the best pen in baseball. But when it doesn't go well, you can see what happens, and they're very lucky that they're not down 3-0. You know, the Yankees pen had been doing well until it wasn't yesterday also. Dodgers pen has been probably the main reason that they've gotten to this point, one win away from the World Series. And
nasty.
The Padres pen was kind of the reason that they got through the Braves and were set up to maybe beat the Dodgers in that series. So we wanted to take a look ahead to 2025 and, you know, where the Padres bullpen now stands going in to the offseason. We'll get into that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So A.J. Preller seems to have done a really good job now of setting up the Padres bullpen going into next season. Going into this year, it was more of a question mark of what that pen was going to be. We knew nothing about, I mean, Yuki Matsui was expected to be maybe even like your setup guy going into this season for Robert Suarez. There was a lot that we didn't know. Wandy Peralta was going to be the key guy that they had signed, like gave big money to, decent money to in the offseason to be potentially seventh, eighth inning guy. And neither of those worked out that well. And the Padres bullpen was a bit of a mess earlier in the season, but they made a lot of changes and moves that obviously helped them get to the playoffs and now should help them going forward, Woods. And let's start with the guy's coming back for sure. Robert Suarez, a lot of foresight when they signed him. They picked him up out of Japan. Then after one season, signed him to a multi-year extension to essentially be the heir apparent to Josh Hader. We weren't sure about it at the time, but he came through in a big way this season. Struggled a little down the stretch, but the overall numbers, one of the best relievers in baseball this year. All-star. And was fantastic for much of the year.
And in the playoffs.
Little hiccup in September. But other than that, you got to say he had an outstanding season and will come back as the closer again next year for the San Diego Padres. After that, you've got Jeremiah Estrada, who was another under-the-radar pickup by A.J. Preller, who absolutely, when you look at the numbers behind the numbers, when he was healthy, outside of, you know, that illness and when he kind of looked like he dropped a little velocity for a few weeks in the middle of the season. fourth best strikeout rate in baseball among all relievers, had the streak of 13 straight strikeouts. He can be as nasty as just about anybody with a fastball that plays on the big league level.
What a find. What a find for A.J. Preller, picking him up off essentially waivers from the Chicago Cubs, Benny. And, you know, again, you give him another year in that bullpen, and sky's the limit for him. So really, really happy that he'll be back, and a really great piece of that bullpen.
And an in-house success story in Adrian Morejon. You know, patience. It's been many years that we've heard about Adrian Morejon's potential to contribute on the big league level, never really saw it. He was, you know, cup of coffee here and there, was on the team, didn't do that well, but finally in a relief role as a left-hander coming out of the pen, had an outstanding breakout-type season this year, and figures if they don't move him back to the starting rotation, and I don't think they will. I think he's going to be a big part of the Padres' bullpen as the lefty next season.
Think what Tanner Scott was this year, potentially for him next year. Again, this is all speculation, literally.
He'll be the guy who has to get Ohtani out next season.
Yeah, he's that guy. He's going to be that dude that Tanner Scott was. And you know, I'm with you. I don't think they're going to end up moving him to a starter. I think his stuff plays way better in the bullpen, and he showed it this year. 2.82 ERA, 2.79 FIB, and 26.1 K rate was really, really good.
Then you had the trade deadline moves, and while Tanner Scott was a rental, and we fully expect him to leave in free agency, which is going to hurt, the other guys that you picked up are under team control for the foreseeable future. Two more years, I believe, of Jason Adam.
Was phenomenal.
Who was so outstanding. Good numbers and good numbers behind the numbers. He figures to be like a second closer option, you know, a guy who can either pitch in the ninth inning or will probably be your eighth inning setup guy going into next season.
Can also get Ohtani out, by the way.
And can as well, yeah. I mean, they'll have lanes for him, Morejon, and Estrada. And when you need five innings from your starter and four high-leverage relievers, Padres should have those coming back next season. Brian Hoeing even showed to be a little more than a throw-in at the trade deadline as he got the job done fairly consistently and will be back again for the Padres next season. And then you have a plethora of in-house other options that we saw at least a brief glimpse of. And we'll start with a guy you mentioned earlier, which is Sean Reynolds. Who is a converted position player who had showed some absolutely nasty stuff, especially his slider late in the season, that looked like he is going to be a top-notch reliever.
100%. I mean,
obviously there's some seasoning that's going to be and maybe a growing pain or two, but I don't think the Padres have any problem going through a couple of growing pains with Sean Reynolds for the potential payoff on the other end of what kind of pitcher he can be out of the bullpen.
Extremely high ceiling for Sean Reynolds. And then there was another name I was texting with John Conniff the other day from Matt Friars. And I think they're pretty high on Bradley Rodriguez. And he throws 100 plus. He's got a changeup that is devastating. So there's another high ceiling guy. They have actually some really, really good arms. And you go down the list. I mean, there's guys that were valuable at one point, did not have the best year. Guys like Tom Cosgrove, Alec Jacob is still.
We saw him in the playoffs. Yep. I think they're still very high on Alec Jacob.
So you do feel fairly good about where they are right now as a bullpen. We've said that before. We certainly have said that before. A.J. Preller has always done a pretty good job with the bullpen. It remains a strength.
I would expect Yuki Matsui to have a better second season than his first season. You know, he definitely gave up too many home runs in bad situations, too many walks early in the season, but his overall numbers weren't really bad at all over the course of the season. What did he finish with? Is it
Yuki?
His ERA at the end of the season. Let me see. He finished with in his first season. Remember, 3.73 ERA, 1.16 WHIP. Those are not bad numbers at all. Those are the kinds of numbers that you feel pretty comfortable, like a seventh inning type guy. And he won't need to be that based on the other names that we've kind of talked about for the Padres. He might even be someone you can offer in trade bait with those kind of numbers. And, you know, you are paying him a few million dollars and you are trying to be careful with your salary. there is a possibility that A.J. Preller could be looking to deal from an area of strength this offseason. I doubt the trade value on Wandy Peralta is that high, but he is a veteran, and there may be a GM or two that, you know, sees enough from in his past that they might even be willing to take on some salary. But even if you have those guys back, you've got solid, you know, fifth, sixth inning, whatever you need them. You know, you're not gonna have your high leverage guys in every single game. Those are pretty good lower leverage relievers to have at the back end of your bullpen, along with, you know, some promising minor leaguers as well that could be coming up at some point during next season that we haven't even seen on the big league level at all.
Yeah, so. I'm excited about the pen. I feel like I'm excited about the pen every single year. That's always my favorite part of spring training. And I think back to last year. Going to watch some of the Jairo Iriartes, you know, who's now a member of the White Sox, but going to watch him throw the Sandridge, what's his first name?
Javian.
Javian Sandridge, yeah. Is he still in the organization?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, Javian Sandridge, Ryan Burgert. These are some guys that I'm excited to go watch throw. It's insane to go stand 5 feet from them and watch them throw, and you go, all right, how does anybody square this up? But yeah, man, they're pretty... You know, you want to say that they're pretty loaded right now in the bullpen. They have to be feeling fairly confident that this is a top tier bullpen.
And it's one reason why I'm confident that the Padres should be a playoff team next year as well.
Yeah, I agree.
That, you know, they're not
the core's there.
And, yeah, a bad bullpen is something that can really take what looks like a playoff team. Hey, we got good starting pitching. We got a good offense. Why would we miss the playoffs? Well, a lot of teams do because they just don't have the bullpen depth and they let too many close games get away. Bad record in one run game. Sound familiar, Padres fans? You know, bad record in not being able to come from behind. You know, the ability to stay behind by one or two runs so you can steal games 100%. At the end is absolutely critical.
It happened so many times this year.
And,
so many times.
And the Padres should be well set up for that again next season, which is why I still am fairly confident that this should be, whatever moves A.J. Preller makes, should be viewed probably when we show up at spring training next year, knowing that A.J. will probably still have more moves to make. A team that is talked about in Major League Baseball circles is one that is expected to be a playoff contender in 2025.
No doubt.
Before even one move has been made this offseason.
Oh, I think at a baseline. Yeah, baseline is playoffs. I think it's really, really solid. So I have no issues with what they have. And I honestly think that it may even be, you know, a little bit of a surplus, Benny, that you could potentially deal from with some of these guys. So somebody sees something in a Tom Cosgrove or
correct.
One of those guys, and they say, you know what, we need a lefty. We can make that work. You know, we'll trade you a low-level starting pitcher, whatever.
I do think Yuki might be an interesting guy to watch this offseason and what they do with him. So, all right, we'll come back. Jordan Schusterman from Yahoo Sports and Cespedes Family Barbecue, our usual Friday chat about the playoffs and more coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.